Good afternoon and welcome to Coffee Break, a podcast of Riverside County Child Support Services. My name is Nathan Hartel, Deputy Director with the department, and it's my pleasure to join our audience for another episode of our podcast where we take our coffee break and spend a few minutes with you talking about all things related to child support. It is the afternoon, but I certainly do have a cup of coffee with me, and I'm excited about talking with our listeners today again about a specific topic related to child support processes. So Marquise, our producer, you do a whole lot of work to make sure these podcasts come off nice and smooth, and I'm excited about today's episode. I'm excited because as great as it has been to spend the last few episodes interviewing community partners, we talked with Community Action Partnership, First Five of Riverside County, Department of Public Social Services. Those were such amazing opportunities, but it feels good to kind of get back to the grassroots, if you will, the reason this podcast exists, which is to talk to our customers about how the child support process works. So I don't know about you, as our producer, but I'm excited about today.
Yeah, I think it really feels good to go back to really why we're doing it and have it for parents that need assistance. And especially, you know, the legal topic and timeshare is important. One of the most important topics. So I'm excited to have our next guest.
Yeah, I am too. And just to kind of set the stage a little bit for who our guest is, and then I will introduce her in just a moment. You know, our audience will know that one of the most common questions and topics that comes up, whether it's from customers coming in to see us in person, talking with us on a virtual appointment or on the phone, or even engaging with us in court, has to do with legal topics surrounding child support. And that could be, how do we obtain a court order? Once we have one, how do you modify it? But there's a whole lot of detail and specific things related to the legal world of child support that go into that. And we get question after question after question. And so today we're going to dig in deep to one of those topics. And Marquise, you mentioned it. It's timeshare, better known as how much time does a parent and another parent spend sharing time with the children that are mentioned on a court order for child support, and how in the world does that factor into child support? So I am excited to welcome and introduce our audience to Paola Castro. She is one of our child support attorneys. She works for us at Riverside County Child Support Services. Paola, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to discuss this topic with the public. I think it's really valuable information that's really going to help them understand the child support and the legal process surrounding it.
I think so. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to do this with us. We intend for this to be casual and conversational. And ultimately, really what we're after is giving more information to our listeners who would be our child support customers or prospective customers, people in the public who maybe need to know a little bit more about what we do and who we are to decide if they want to open a child support case with us. And we hope that this episode helps them along that journey of considering and deciding what to do with their needs related to child support. One of the things, Paola, that I wanted to kind of bring up just to kind of kickstart the conversation here is, in my experience, most often when a customer says to us anything about custody, visitation, timeshare, which maybe is or isn't a word that, you know, most people would use, but typically when those things come up, it's a common response from a child support employee, a worker, to the person that they are helping to say, well, we don't really get into those things. So I guess my big question, just to kind of open up this topic and ask you to answer this to help our customers know where we're coming from today, is what really is the connection to custody, visitation, and timeshare to the world of child support? How do those intersect?
No, you put it really well. That's exactly what happens. We ask a lot of questions regarding where the children are at, but we don't get involved legally with establishing any order. So customers will receive that response, but they really are very intertwined. So I'd like to explain kind of the differences in some of the terminology. You'll hear legal custody and physical custody. Those seem to be the more popular terms in most of the court orders regarding this. Legal custody refers to a parent's right to make decisions for the child. And those could include where the child is, where they go to school, those health and welfare issues regarding the children. Physical custody refers to the actual time you have with the child. And for purposes of child support, all calculations for child support in California require to know the percentage of time, that physical custody that each parent has with the child. So even though we don't get involved with establishing or giving services regarding legal custody and physical custody orders, we're always going to be asking if there is an order, what the agreement is, and what the actual time is in order to calculate the support.
So you mentioned the actual time. And again, from experience, I can tell you that a really common question and sometimes a concern of our customers, it could be one or both of the parents, is what is stated in writing in the court order for visitation is not necessarily what is happening in practice and in reality. And so it could go either way. It could be that the time actually spent the children with one or other parents is higher or lower than what is court ordered. That can be a real area of confusion and sometimes frustration for our customers as they then seek to either establish a brand new court order for child support or to modify an existing one because maybe something has changed. So, you know, what can you do to kind of explain that process and help our customers understand how does that work if things in practice are different than what was actually ordered?
No, that's a great question. That happens a lot. And it tends to come up when a child support order is being established or modified, where those issues and questions come up. The calculation is meant to use what's actually happening. The court and, you know, the state of California wants to make sure that child support orders are based on the actual time, the actual, you know, income, what's really happening, so that that is the most appropriate order for that family, which is why even if there is a court order that gives a set time, while that order is legal, enforceable, valid, when we go into the child support calculation, we're going to ask what's actually happening, not what's court ordered, again, so that that order is an appropriate order. For example, if a parent has an order that gives them 50% timeshare with a child, but they don't visit the child at all, it just doesn't seem appropriate or legally just in a way to make an order based on 50% timeshare when that's not the actual reality. So the expenses that that parent has are not reflective of having a child in their home 50% of the time, which is why we wouldn't use it. The circumstances surrounding why that is or isn't happening is something that the department is not going to get involved in. That's something that would be appropriate to discuss in front of a child support commissioner in court and discuss exactly what the circumstances are as to why it is or isn't happening. And if there's further legal action that needs to happen in order to enforce, modify, or do anything with that order, that would again happen in court. And that's when our customers will hear us say that we don't specifically deal with those issues and we'll refer them to the local family law assistance center through the Superior Court for further assistance.
Okay, that's great information to have. One of the things that's coming to my mind as I hear you talk is that even though the Department of Child Support Services may not be getting into the details of why in practice, visitation is not matching up with what is court ordered. Really, what you're hitting on, though, is that participation from both parties is critical in this process because you do not want to hang your hat on the fact that my visitation order says blank and fill in the blank with however many days a week, a month, including the holidays, and then just assume that that's going to be what is taken into account for a child support calculation. You really need to participate in the process, don't you, if you're a child support customer?
Absolutely. I think that's the main thing, participating and letting us know what's going on, because you captured it perfectly. We don't get involved, but we want to know the circumstances because the department will have an attorney in court that's going to kind of lay out the issues for the court as to why something is or isn't happening with regards to the physical custody. We don't take a position, but we are there to facilitate kind of that information to the court and let them know what's going on. We don't represent either parent, but we want to let the court know, you know, mom is saying this, dad is saying that, and then the court will make the decision based on the evidence and testimony the parents give in court.
Okay. Maybe you can help me clarify something. So we're talking about this and we've used the term child support calculation, but I feel like maybe we need to explain that a little bit better. So a court order for custody and or visitation is a court order that's going to be set for parents outside of the child support process. But the information that is in that order is then connected to the information we need at child support to run what's called a support calculation or a guideline calculator for the purpose of inputting significant pieces of information about the circumstances of both parents on the case to then reveal basically how much child support should be paid. So is that an accurate summary? And if so, can you kind of explain a little bit more detail? What are the main things that go into that calculation that really influence child support the most?
Yeah, so a great way to kind of understand the calculator that all California child support departments use is to visit the California Child Support website. And there is a public calculator available that the public can access just to kind of look at what it asks, you know, play around with it, just get familiar with it, because there is a lot of information that goes in there. But there's definitely four main things that kind of drive most calculations. And it's the income of parent one, income of parent two, the tax filing status, who's claiming the children, and the visitation. Those are kind of like the major factors that you're going to get the most questions about in court, because they really drive whether the number goes up and down. And just in the most simple way, the way I can explain it is that the higher the timeshare with a child, the lower your support will be, because the calculator is taking into account that the child is with you, living in your home. You know, you're going to have to buy more food, have a bigger place. You have expenses for having that child or children in your home. So if you have more time, you have to pay less money. So the opposite is true. The less time you have with the child, the higher your support will be, because the responsibility financially for the child is on that other parent. So it's going to make the calculation higher. But those are things that, yeah, those are the main areas of the calculator.
Okay. And so I've noticed there are certain things that are not included in there, like what someone might refer to as in-kind support. So instead of or in lieu of financial support, one parent might say to us, yeah, but I'm paying for diapers, I'm paying for this, I'm providing this kind of other support for the family. I'm not hearing that those are really taken into account in the support calculator, or if they are, they're certainly not those big three or four factors that are going to drive the amount that is determined.
And that's a very good point. You know, I hear that in court often as well. You know, it's one of those things where if you are co-parenting with the other parent and figuring out what the child or children need, you're in a world where you're acting under kind of like what you believe is in the best interest of your child, what they need. And you can come up with those informal agreements to buy clothes or diapers. But once you enter into kind of the legal world of child support, it's a very specific way of calculating the support. And there's other scenarios that can complicate how we come up with that number. For example, if it's a family that's receiving public assistance, there's just a lot of regulations and laws that affect how child support is calculated depending in the scenario. So definitely the scenario you described, you know, common sense wise, you know, co-parenting, working well together, that is a way of figuring out the support for a child. But once you open a case with the Department of Child Support Services, we are under strict laws on how to calculate support that are defined by the family code. And the family code has this calculation, this algorithm that has come up based on what they believe should be considered when coming up with the amount of support that you're legally obligated. And it's driven by the factors I described. Essentially, the state of California has come up with a calculation that wants to know how much you pay, how much you earn gross, and then how much you pay in federal and state taxes. And then the number that's left over is what's considered your net disposable income for support. And that's the number that is the base for coming up with your support. So it's just a very regulated calculation, and it's rigid, I would say. And it's very specific in what it will or won't include, but there is additional discretion built in for the court. Should that calculation not be accurate, or I wouldn't, maybe accurate is not the word, where that calculation is not appropriate given the circumstances of that family. So even if the calculator, for example, says it's $800, if the court hears what's going on with mom, what's going on with dad, and the financial circumstances of that family, the court does have the discretion to order a different number given those facts. But essentially, it's presumed to be correct. So there really does have to be really strong factors for the court not to order that amount.
Okay. That's all great information. When I think about that calculation in the context of timeshare, you know, I'm well aware of the fact that timeshare and co-parenting does not always present itself in a very neat, clean, orderly way. It can be complicated. It can be kind of convoluted. And so if you're a parent listening to this wondering, you know, how does my situation with timeshare and all the specifics of the number of days and hours that I have my child with me and I'm caring for him or her, holidays, weekends, there's so many different scenarios, right? So how do you take, you know, probably an endless, you know, variety of combination of days and hours that timeshare could exist and put that into that calculator? Does it really account for those details?
You know, it's meant to be an approximation of the time that you have the majority of the time, if that makes sense. So it can be as specific or kind of as general depending on each case, because there are definitely families that have schedules that are very precise. It's always the same pickup time, the drop-off time, very consistent. And when it comes to those situations, it's very easy to count the hours and then come up with a percentage of time on, you know, for the calculation. And as part of the virtual workshop, I did a presentation that has a really good example of a common schedule and kind of the steps to calculating that percentage of time mathematically. So if you have a specific schedule and you want to calculate the percentage of time, that's a great resource to figuring that out. Additionally, the calculator itself, under the some advanced options that are under the box where you enter the percentage of time, it also has the most common schedules that some families are following, and you are able to just select it and they will automatically calculate that percentage of time for you. Absent that, if you really do have a situation where it does vary from week to week or it's just a very fluid visitation, the best way to calculate is just to keep track, you know, get a calendar and then just count the number of hours and figure it out, because it is essentially adding up all the hours you have with the child, and that is the percentage that is going to be used to calculate support. And it's going to be based again on what's happening most of the time. If there's this one month where, you know, the other parent, either due to work or something came up, maybe had to be out of town for a long period of time, so you have the children, you know, that one month, like a lot, as opposed to what usually happens, the court is not generally going to make an order based on what happened in that one month. They're going to kind of look at what's been happening overall in the past year and kind of come up with an approximation of what it's going to be. And the reason it's an approximation is because these are human lives. You know, children's schedules change, there are extracurriculars, you know, your work schedule can change. So it really just, it's meant to be an approximation of what's actually happening.
Okay. It sounds like, you know, again, you have to participate in the process, because all of these details, the only people that really know them are the parents themselves. So they really need to be, you know, participating, providing that information. I'm really glad to hear you mention keeping records. And maybe we can kind of circle back on that a little bit toward the end, because I think that's really important, is what practical advice, you know, can we give to our customers about how to keep good, accurate records as to what's going on. But before we get to that, one of the main things that just keeps coming up as I'm listening to you talk is, what if the parents don't agree? I would imagine that happens all the time, is that one parent says, no, the reality is that the timeshare amount is this, and the other one says, no, it's less or it's more. So where, how does that fit into it? And where are all of these discussions and conversations taking place? Because I think that question is connected to it. So are these things, can all this be worked out in the child support office? Or are these situations that always have to take place in court? And where do you deal with discrepancies about, you know, what timeshare really is or is not?
Well, you describe basically both scenarios, kind of the way it can happen. It definitely does not have to be resolved in court. We can talk about the situation, what's been going on, some of the reasons behind that, and come up with, you know, an agreement. For example, you know, 2020 was a very challenging year, but it was especially challenging in terms of legal and physical custody because of some of the access issues that parents had to the children outside of their control because of quarantining or, you know, a parent either having COVID-19. A lot of issues came up. So there can be situations where a parent may not have been seeing the child for, you know, reasons outside of their control. So if we ask them for the actual timeshare, it could very well be zero. You know, maybe that parent was ill or the other parent was ill, the child was in a household. So it could be that the actual timeshare with that child was zero because of circumstances outside of both parents' control. But prior to that, you know, the parents were exercising, you know, every other weekend consistently without fail, which is approximately a 14% timeshare. When discussing a child support modification, we want to hear all of that information, and we could present a calculation that has, you know, the 0% timeshare, and we can present a calculation that has a 14% timeshare. And if everyone's in agreement that, you know, the 0% was basically out of both parents' control, they can agree to say, let's still use 14%, because that's really what's going to continue to happen and what's been happening. That seems like the appropriate percentage of time. But some parents may say no. They say, I absolutely do not agree, even though this is what he or she was doing in 2019. They didn't do it at all in 2020, and I want it based on 0%. So at that point, we're not going to force anybody to sign a stipulation or agree with the other parent. What we're going to do is present that case to court, and the court's going to hear from both sides, kind of the situation I described, and the court will be making that determination whether to use 0% or the 14%, which is kind of what regularly happened before COVID-19. So that's an example where we could resolve it in the office, not go to court, and that could be after either a conversation with one of our case managers or conversation with an attorney in court. But if there's ultimately no agreement, then the court will make a decision.
Okay, and the resolution in our office has no less formality or authority to the outcome than it does in court, meaning that in the office, the way it's done would be a signed stipulation, which would still be filed with the court, and that would either create the initial order for child support or modify an existing one. So it's not that one has more or less value than the other. Is that right?
That is correct. They're both court orders, the same legal effect on both. One is just outside of court without a hearing, and the other one is in court with a hearing.
Okay. And can we go back a little bit then to the advice and your experience that you might give to parents who are, you know, kind of in the middle of this? I know you mentioned something that sounds really practical, like a calendar. Is that, you know, kind of the best way to go, just to keep a wall calendar or keep track on your calendar on your phone and just make sure you're keeping track of the details, the number of hours? You know, I would imagine that that may be hard to do. Life gets busy, but when these are the circumstances that parents are dealing with and they're faced with and child support is involved, it really is worth taking the time, I would imagine, to pay attention to those details.
Absolutely. And, you know, based on the co-parenting relationship you have with the other side, that's really going to dictate how detailed your information needs to be. There are some parents that need to be very precise, because the other side is asking for very precise information. There are some parents that kind of have a general feel for things and they don't need to keep track of these situations as much. But if you know that you on the other side have a very detailed oriented parent, what you'll want to do is keep track, like you said, a wall calendar on your phone and keep track of the pickup, the drop off. Keep track of text messages, emails. Some families have orders to communicate only through, you know, certain websites like Our Family Wizard or Talking Parents. So it's kind of documented the communication that they have regarding timeshare. So if you believe there's going to be information either by text message, email, or on Talking Parents or Our Family Wizard, you know, have that information ready, you know, print it out. If you believe the court's going to need to look at it, what you'll want to do is you'll want to file that information in court. Keep in mind, anything you file in court is a public record. So you'll want to be mindful about redacting any information that you would not like to be public, like your email address or a phone number or any of those identifiers that you may not want to disclose to the public. You want to make sure that's redacted. And you'll file that, and you also want to make sure that you serve the other party with that information so they have a chance to review it. And if they want to respond to it, they can file something as well. What you don't want to do is kind of just have your position and your argument and have these documents available but not with you in court and not filed with the court ahead of time. That seems to be what happens. And the risk you take if you just come to court unprepared is that the court will not consider that information, or they will continue your case and cause further delay to allow the other parent to review that information. So you definitely, if you know you and the other parent do not agree on the percentage of time that you have with the child or children, you want to have that information, you want to file it, serve it, and be prepared to discuss that in court. And again, the Family Law Assistance Center is really good about answering any questions parents may have about filing the information and also serving it on the other parent and filing a proof of service to show that you did file it and provided that documentation ahead of court.
I'm glad you mentioned the Family Law Assistance Center, and we've talked about them before on our podcast, but some of the things that you mentioned, especially if it comes to having the responsibility to serve somebody else, you know, with some information and some documents leading up to a court hearing, you really do want to make sure you're asking the right questions and following the proper procedures. And I do believe the Family Law Assistance Center is a great resource for people to use for information like that. And people need to be reminded too that child support, even though you're an attorney, Paola, but we don't represent either of the parties. So we always have to remind people that, and if they have legal questions, they need to kind of go outside of our office. Is that correct? To make sure they're getting certain kinds of advice.
Absolutely. And, you know, it can get a little bit, you know, tricky because the department does have a lot of services and we're very involved in the process of establishing and modifying the child support orders through our department. But that is correct. The attorneys that are in court, they do not represent you. And the key difference when somebody represents you, they're there to speak on your behalf, to make sure that your goals, your needs, and what you want to get out of court today, that's their job to make sure it kind of happens. Obviously, they're not in control of all of the, you know, the different factors regarding whether you're going to get a favorable result in court or not, but that's what that attorney is doing for you. They're representing you and what you would like to be the outcome that day. The department cannot give you that level of service with our attorneys. You know, they don't represent you and they're not there to ensure that the goals that you set out for your case are met that day. They're there representing, you know, the County of Riverside and kind of what the legal neutral process of establishing child support orders is. So you'll hear the attorneys sometimes state a position that in your mind may seem more favorable to one parent or the other, but it's not because they're representing anyone, it's because that's the law. So it just seems to be in favor of the position of one parent versus the other, but we have to follow whatever the law is. That in itself is not the same as representing the other parent, which I think is what happens in court sometimes, that the things one parent wants are in line with the law and the other parent doesn't agree with the law. So there's a perception that the attorneys from our office are doing what the other parent wants, but the real answer is no, they're just doing what the state of California has made law. That's the answer.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to bring up, because we really are neutral in the sense that our representation is really limited to the court order itself. You know, but I do want our customers to hear that we want the best interests of the child and of the families that we serve. And we do our very best to get into these details in the conversations. And even though our attorneys may not be specifically representing either parent, you know, what really matters to us is that our customers participate and that we have accurate court orders, because we know for sure that the more accurate that support order is, the greater the likelihood that the person ordered to pay support is going to be able to successfully do that, which then means the more support is going to the children on the cases that we serve. So you have provided a wealth of information. I really appreciate that. As we kind of get near the end of our time, I want to go back to something you mentioned. You mentioned a virtual workshop where our customers could go and watch you and some of the other representatives of our child support department talk about the same topic with child share, and they could see an example of kind of some of the complications of timeshare and how many hours and how that all plays out. And so for our customers who are listening to this podcast episode, you can go to our website at rivcodcss.com, or you can check out our social media pages on Facebook, and you will find that virtual workshop where you can watch and see these things that are being discussed. And I think that will help as well. Paola, as we get close to the end of our episode, is there any advice that you would kind of leave our customers with, just based on your experience related to this general topic? What do you think is one of the best things they could do to help themselves be engaged and ready to make this a successful collaboration between themselves, the other parent, and in our department for a great outcome?
You know, the one thing I would like to stress is, I think what you've already stressed is participation. You have to be part of the process. And one of the challenges I see is that parents may have had, you know, a not so good experience in court or in dealing with custody visitation. What I would like to stress is parents need to participate. You know, our staff and attorneys, we really want to get to what's actually happening, get families the appropriate orders, and participation is key to that. And the other thing is just, you know, be prepared. One of the challenges for parents is sometimes we ask very specific questions and they just don't have a very good recollection of what's been going on. So when it comes to child support, your income, any changes in your job, you want to just keep good documents and records of that, because that's just going to make the resolution in court faster, and it's going to reduce any delays, and it's going to put the information in black and white in front of the court and our attorneys, so that we can help parents resolve issues faster and present maybe certain options to maybe resolve things out of court.
That's great. So thank you, Paola, very much for spending time with us today. You know, as I look at my coffee cup, it's just about gone. So that kind of signals we're coming to the close of our episode. You've provided a lot of great information on timeshare, on the child support calculation. So thank you very much for spending some time with us.
No, thank you.
All right. For our listeners, thank you for joining us today. I want to leave you with a couple reminders and something you can look forward to coming up on the calendar for Child Support Services. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast. We are available on pretty much any podcast platform that you choose to listen on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just to name a couple. You can visit us on rivcodcss.com. And one of the things that you will find, a very special upcoming event called Legal Day, which is a virtual event going to be held on Saturday, June 12th. And you will have an opportunity to hear from First Five of Riverside County, along with workforce development and a lot of other available resources that might be of interest to you. That will also be a day in which we are providing virtual appointments for our customers. So if our regular hours are not meeting your needs and you want to schedule an appointment with your caseworker, you'll be able to do that. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen to us today, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.